In our previous discussion, we were speaking on the beauty of a flower. It was the night of Pushya Abhishek. And we spoke about how every flower in nature is a miracle. We discussed how every fruit is a miracle. How wherever there is life, it is a miracle. But the sad part is we are so used to having miracles and witnessing miracles and experiencing miracles that we fail to recognize them. Sound is such a miracle. So in the next half an hour, 40 minutes that we have, we'll dwell deep into the science of sound. So let's start our discussion with the effect of sound on different creatures. Yes? Of all the animals, it is believed that the deer in the forests love the sound of the flute the most. You can't quote me on that, but it's just a general observation. In fact, the deer love the sound of the flute so much that as soon as somebody starts playing the flute, the deer come in groups and they are just stunned. They come close, they sniff or smell your body, they end up licking your body. They're completely in total amazement and they're enchanted by the sound of the flute. And the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about this, how Krishna used to play the Vamsi flute. And the deer and the cows and all the animals, including the birds, used to just be totally enchanted by the sound of Krishna's flute. In fact, one devotee was telling me that to test this, he went into the forest and he started playing the flute. And to his amazement, he saw a group of deer coming close to him, and some were licking his feet, some were smelling his body. They were totally enchanted by the sound of the flute. And as soon as he stopped playing the flute, they came back to external senses and realized, oh, this is a human being and he can harm us, and they just ran away. And you know how beautifully they run away. They jump and hop and run away. So deer, they just love the sound of the flute. Talking about birds, there are research papers on how there are many birds who are attracted by the sound of the violin. You play the violin in a bird sanctuary and be amazed by the variety and the quantity of birds, the number of birds who get attracted by the sound of the violin and sit next to you. And this works in the negative sense as well. In India, many times in the afternoon time when you take your afternoon nap, many of these crows sit on the end of your window and they start screaming and making sound. And the person to shoo these crows away doesn't even have to look at the crow. Just clap and the crows fly away. So the power of sound is mystical in the positive and in the negative. It can attract and it can repel. In olden times, they never had electric rackets to kill mosquitoes. They never had poisonous mosquito coils, and they didn't have repellent ointments. The way they kept mosquitoes away is that they used to play this music at a certain frequency, which used to naturally repel the mosquitoes away. Everything right from the mosquito, the insects like the mosquito, birds, animals like the deer, they are all attracted and repelled by the power of sound. What to speak of trees? There are scientists who have spoken about the influence of sound on plants and trees. There was one scientist who put up sensors on the leaves of the trees, and to one set of plants and trees, he set very beautiful melodious sound, like classical music, and constant compliments, like you're so beautiful, like you're so wonderful. Now this might sound crazy, but this is part of the research. The scientist writes in the paper that although it might sound crazy, but trees and plants are also very receptive to all forms of sound. So if you go close to a plant and you speak words which are positive, words which are complimenting, words which show optimism, the sensors reveal that the nature of photosynthesis or different processes in the plants are all very stable, are all very calm, very soothing, very sober. The overall scene is very serene. But on the other set of plants, when the sound is very heavy, very agitating, very provoking, and swear words are given. You're ugly, you're useless, you're good for nothing. There's no need of having a plant like you. The research says, in the observation of a few months, these plants end up drying up. Some die, some don't give flowers and fruits, some get stunted. So the power of sound is amazing. Not just to bees and mosquitoes, not just to birds, not just to deer, but even to trees and plants. In fact, in ancient Indian culture, there is a saying that if you want to protect a tree and nourish the growth of the tree, just hug the tree and say how wonderful it is. But if you just want to kill a tree, stand around the tree and swallow abuses, and the tree would die in a few days. You can try this if you want. I'm not sure. If people think you're crazy, don't blame me. You can go and talk to plants and trees and hug them and kiss them or whatever. But don't quote on me. This is just part of research. What to speak of animate? In fact, even inanimate things. Now, you'll be amazed. Listen to this. Very, very interesting. One Japanese scientist, he recorded the power of sound on something as inanimate as water. Yes, water is inanimate. Welcome. What he did was, he took 2 cups of water, large enough, from the same source, with the same composition, of the same size and structure, and he kept them in 2 different chambers. To the first chamber, the cup of water, he played very soft, classical, melodious, soothing music for days together, just on a tape. And to the other cup, he played music and words and discussions and conversations which were agitating and provoking, which didn't give positive vibes, which were very negative, which were filled with negativity. And after a few days of this observation, he took both these cups and froze them by keeping them into a refrigerator. And he kept them for a week. At the end of 7 days, when he picked both of them out, both of them on the top of the frozen water or ice had formed structures. The one which was exposed to agitating, provoking music and words had formed a structure on the top which was haphazard, which was disoriented, and it was completely in a devastated state. It seemed as if it's in total anxiety, as if water was communicating that I am in pieces. And the other structure, which was exposed to positive energy, positive sound, good words, that had such a beautiful crystal-like structure, that was oriented, wonderfully structured, and aesthetically beautiful. Very wonderful. And he wrote a paper describing how the power of sound is intrinsic even to something as inanimate as water. And what to speak of something as animate as humans? What is the power of sound on us? We learn to talk, we learn languages, we understand subject matters simply by the power of sound. We are sent to school, colleges, university, where we are taught to hear and listen. And we listen the sound vibration, and that's how we learn. How do children learn languages? Children learn to speak mama, daddy, papa, and all these words simply by hearing from their parents. The power of sound. Imagine you're sitting in a very wonderful place, in the middle, as if you're one with nature. You can hear the waterfall. Imagine yourself. You're sitting in a place which is just open, one with nature. You have the very beautiful flowers. You have the very beautiful fruit-bearing trees. You have green grass. You have the waterfalls. You have the mountains. You have the blue sky, the rising sun. You have everything. And you hear the soft, beautiful chirping of the birds. You hear the beautiful waterfall. You hear the moving of the rivers, the sound of water. How soothing, How pleasant, how calm, what an effect this has in our consciousness. You can just close your eyes and be lost, being so peaceful. On the flip side, imagine yourself in the middle, the heart of the city, where you have honking horns, where you have siren-based ambulance vans, you have police vans, you have fire vans, you have all of this going around you with people chattering, chit-chatting going on, loud honking of horns, and all of this going on. The industries around you, how do you feel? You feel agitated. You feel provoked. You need rest. You need to be away from all this. This is the power of sound. One great English poet said, words are like arrows. Once shot, they cannot be retrieved. So when you compliment somebody, you feel good, they feel good. That's the power of sound. And at the same time, when you criticize somebody, you call them ill words, you blaspheme them, the power of sound is such that it burns you inside and burns them inside. That's the power of sound. History is a proof. Think about all the great leaders. Think about all the great politicians. Great politicians. This might be antithetical. The words might be antithetical in nature. But anyway, think about all the big names that you can remember in history. The freedom fighters. The big people who influenced the face of history. Think of Hitler. Think of Mussolini. Think of Stalin. In Indian freedom struggle, think of Subhash Chandra Bose. These were people who could make people fire up just by the power of their sound. In the middle of a nightclub, they could just barge in and stand on top of a table and fire the whole audience by their speech. Big revolutions, industrial revolutions, white revolutions, green revolutions, political revolutions, communist revolutions, they were all influenced. They influenced the world simply by the power of sound. Science talks about this. Very wonderful. How many knowledge acquiring senses do we have? And what are they? I just put it to the audience. How? Sorry?
Six.
Six knowledge acquiring senses. Okay. What are they?
Touch.
Yes. We touch with the? Skin. Okay. Then what is the next?
Smell.
And we smell with our? Nose. Okay. What's the third one?
No. Somebody else.
Sight. And we see with our? Eyes. Fourth? Ears. We hear with our? Ears. And what's the fifth one? What are we missing?
Taste.
Sorry?
Taste.
We taste with our tongue. These are the five senses. Yes? So we smell with our nose, we hear with our ears, we see with our eyes, we touch with our skin, and we taste with our tongue. And the mind, of course. We keep that aside. Science talks about a very beautiful thing. For the next 5 minutes, please give me your attention. Out of the five gross elements that we have, what are the five gross elements that you find in nature? Earth, water,
ether,
fire, and air. Yes? Srimad Bhagavatam talks about a very beautiful structure in the evolution of these gross elements and how they are connected to our sense organs. And science verifies that. Srimad Bhagavatam says the first element that came into creation was ether. And what can ether carry? Only sound. Ether cannot carry anything else. Only sound. Then Srimad Bhagavatam says, from ether came air. Now, air can carry sound, but can carry one more thing. What is that? Touch. Yes? Breeze. You can hear the sound and you can feel it. Then the Srimad Bhagavatam says, from air came fire. So fire has sound. Shishirada Gopi Vallabhaki. So, ether carries sound. Air carries sound and the sense, the feeling of touch. Then from that came fire. What is the extra thing that fire has? Form. Yes? Sound? The sense of touch? Sound, touch, and form. Yes? Three elements. Then from fire came water. Interesting how water can extinguish fire, but from fire comes water. And water carries something extra. The sense of taste. And from water comes earth, which carries the sense of smell. So earth carries all five. Vision, that's the form. Smell, taste, yes, sound, all five. It has everything. And you start with ether, which has just sound, then goes to air, which has sound and touch, and then from air comes water, or fire, which has form as well, and from fire comes water, which has taste, and from water comes earth, which has smell. Interestingly, the only element which carries through all five of these elements is sound. Yes? Sound. Modern science also talks about this, that everything started with an explosion, with the presence of sound. And Srimad Bhagavatam also talks about this. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is the origin, while science is verifying it. So sound is very powerful. And this, what we're discussing, is the effect of material sound. What to speak of spiritual sound? Spiritual sound is called as mantra. We spoke about material sound, which deals on the gross elements. Now we're speaking about mantra or spiritual sound, which deals on gross and subtle. It is completely spiritual. Mana means mind, and tra means trayate, that which delivers. That which delivers the mind from all anxieties. That which delivers the mind from all stress, anxiety, and entanglement in this world is mantra. And this is not just a sectarian thought. All the spiritual paths in the history of time have spoken about this. Prophet Muhammad in Quran says that of all the sound vibration, holy is the name of God, therefore you must call upon it. David says in the Bible, yes. He says in Psalms 113, where he says, from the time of sunrise to the place where sun sets, you must call upon the name of God. Yes. And in the Vedas, which are the most ancient source of material and spiritual knowledge on earth, there are countless evidences on the power of sound vibration. For the next 10 minutes, we'll dwell into the different evidences in our scriptures as far as transcendental sound vibration is concerned. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rasoham apsukaunteya prabhasmin shashishuryayo pranavah sarvavedeshu shabdhakke paurusham drishu. He says, I am the sound in ether, O Arjuna. Again in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yajnanam japayajnyosmi. Among all sacrifices, I am the sacrifice of the chanting of the holy names, which is spiritual sound vibration. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all Vedic scriptures, there are so many such examples. Canto 3, chapter 33, text 7. 333:7. Aho batasva pachato gariyan yajjiv bhagre vartate namatubhyam. It is said, this transcendental sound vibration of the holy names of Krishna is so powerful that even if in the past somebody has been an abominable dog eater, still if he has given up all bad habits and taken to this process of chanting of the holy name, how fortunate is his tongue. Yat jiv agre vartate namatubhyam. At the end of whose tongue your holy names are vibrated, O Shri Krishna. Lord Kapila tells his mother. Kvachaham kitavah papam brahmajna paripatrapa kvachah narayana iti etat bhagavan nama mangalam. Canto 6, chapter 2, text 34. We could have had a real bad past. We would have probably done all the sins possible through thought, word and deed. But if we can pronounce the holy name of Shri Krishna, leaving behind all our past tendencies, That chanting of the holy name will purify our existence. Kvacha Narayana iti etat bhagavan nama mangalam. Of all the things which are sweet in creation, Krishna's holy name is the sweetest. Of all the things which deliver us from material existence, Krishna's name is the most powerful. Of all the things which are most auspicious, Krishna's name is most auspicious. Madhuram madure bhyopi mangale bhyopi mangalam, pavanam pavane bhyopi harer nama eva kevalam. And this is meant for everyone beyond caste, creed, religion and nationality. Tasmat sankirtanam vishnum jagat mangala amhasam. 6.3.21. It is said this is meant for purifying the whole creation, not just for the Hindus, Muslims or Christians. It is meant for everyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified this fact when he was moving through the Jharkhanda forest. He started chanting the holy names, and tigers and deer, which are externally on the bodily platform, they are enemies. They started embracing each other, crying in ecstatic love for Krishna. This is the nature of pure love. This is the after effect of the chanting of the holy names. In every age, there is a prescribed way to get Krishna. Just like in the winter, there's a specific way of clothing. In summer, there's a specific way of clothing. In rainy season, there's a specific way of clothing. Similarly, in every era, in every yuga, there is a specific path, there is a specific process to get Krishna. In Satya Yuga, the process to get Krishna was one-pointed contemplative meditation, which is not possible in the age of Kali Yuga, because our minds are restless. We are lazy. We are unfortunate. And most importantly, we are always disturbed. We cannot focus on Krishna in seclusion. In Treta Yuga, the process to get Krishna was through different fire sacrifices. We don't have time. We don't have patience to perform them. In Dwapara Yuga, the process to get Krishna was through deity worship, which is again not possible in Kali Yuga. So therefore, keeping things very simple and easy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an incarnation of Krishna in the age of Kali Yuga, he made this process so simple, so sublime. This is something that's accessible to everyone. Everyone can chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shukadeva Goswami says this in Canto 12 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Kali Yuga might be an ocean of faults. You can have so many faults. We are filled with the faults of fault finding. We are filled with the faults of envy. We are filled with the faults of pride, lust, greed, anger. Very difficult to overcome. Very difficult to perform any religious practice. Impossible. If it is possible, we don't have time. If we have time, we don't have the mood. If we have mood, we don't have the faith. And if we have all three of them, we don't have anyone worthy around us to instruct us. How fortunate we are. We have time. We are having the right mood. All of us are having faith. And most importantly, we are having the priceless association of one another. We have the books of Srila Prabhupada, which are guiding. They are like the torchlight for this dark, deep age of Kali Yuga. Just by reading these books, by discussing with one another, we can inspire, we can motivate, we can increase our faith. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process so simple. How many of us can meditate in the forest? How many of us are eligible to chant these Vedic mantras? How many of us are capable of worshipping the deities? Very few. But how many of us have tongues, and how many of us can chant the holy name? All of us. There is no such era which was ever blessed like this. You simply vibrate the holy name with the use of your tongue and your upper and lower lips, and you get Krishna in one life. Impossible. This was never possible. Therefore, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described Krishna Varanam Tvisha Akrishnam Sangha Upangastra Parashadam Yajnyai Sankirtyanai Prayer Yajantihi Sumedhasa. In the age of Kali Yuga, those who take to this process of chanting the holy name are most intelligent. Fortunately, the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't say that those who have a PhD are most intelligent, or those who have $1 billion are most intelligent, or those who win the Miss Universe or Mr. Universe contest are most intelligent. The simple process of vibrating the holy name is the sign of true intelligence. Can we prove to Krishna that all of us in this room are intelligent? Can we prove to Krishna? Is it possible? Yes, it is possible if we raise our arms high in the air and from the bottom of our heart loudly chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami says, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan, asti hi eko mahan guna. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Paramprajit. He says, Kali Yuga might be an ocean of faults, O King. Might be an ocean of faults. But there's one great quality in Kali Yuga. What is that great quality? That simply by chanting the names of Krishna, by in congregation, which means we have to put aside our egocentricity. It is not said chanting in seclusion. It is said chanting in the association of Vaishnavas. Which means we have to cooperate. We have to put aside all our side interests and congregate together in the mode of humility and tolerance. We must congregate and chant. He said, Kirtanad eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Vrajet. O King, Kali Yuga might be an ocean of faults, but this is such a golden age that simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, you get Krishna in one human life. This was unheard of in Satya, Treta and Dwapar. People sat 60,000 years cross-legged in one-pointed meditation and still didn't get Krishna. There were cases of greats like Vishwamitra and Shaubhari Muni who fell down with time. But in Kali Yuga, you just chant the holy name for 50 years or 40 years of the time that we spend on this planet, and peacefully, joyfully in the association of Vaishnavas, we chant and dance, take prasadam and we go back to Krishna. Seems like a very good proposal. Too good to be true, but it is true. Not just the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the scriptures talk about this. In fact, Krishna likes the chanting of the holy name so much that in the Padma Puran he says, O Narada, I don't stay in Vaikuntha. Oh well, we thought Vishnu stays in Vaikuntha, isn't it? Where does Vishnu stay? Vaikuntha. But here is Vishnu or Krishna telling Narada that I don't stay in Vaikuntha. Then our next thought process is, Krishna stays in the hearts. Yes, he stays in our heart. Then the next line Krishna says, I don't even stay in the hearts. Interesting. He doesn't stay in Vaikuntha. He doesn't stay in the hearts of the yogis. Oh Krishna, please enlighten us. Where do you stay? And he tells Narada, Yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishthami Narada. Wherever my devotees with faith, love and devotion chant my holy names, that is the place where I stay. So where is Krishna at the moment? He's here. Because we are going to call him here by loudly saying, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Isn't it wonderful? Simply chant and then get Krishna. But there's one very beautiful principle that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. He said that not simply chanting and getting Krishna, but the mood in which we chant Hare Krishna is very, very important. Very important. Like if you chant in the mood of being very proud and in the mood of being a controller, You can chant for a billion lifetimes and you still don't get anything. Bahu janma kari yadi shravana kirtan tabu na paibe krishna pade prema. If you think that we are very great and I am the controller and I am so powerful, I am so beautiful, I am so intelligent, I am filled with so many skills, I am filled with so many talents, look how people appreciate me. If we have all these qualities, sorry, we never get Krishna. In science, there is a saying, opposites attract, isn't it? So Krishna is great. If we also think we are great, then equals repel. We never get Krishna's mercy. But if Krishna is already great, and we are dipped in humility, then it's like the great and the low, and opposites attract the flow of mercy. This holy name, when chanted with humility through the lips of a pure devotee, can just transform our heart. I'll tell you a very nice story. One time Narada Muni, he went to Vaikuntha. And Lord Vishnu told him that I have an assignment for you, O Narada. Narada said, before that, I have a question for you. O Vishnu, please tell me what is the power of your holy name? Vishnu said, I will answer that, but you have to do an assignment for me. Narada said, okay, what's your homework for me, my lord? He said, go down on earth, and there is an insect, there's an ant. Go and whisper the holy name near the ant. So Narada said, okay, seems simple. He went close to the ant and he said, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. As soon as he said this, the ant died. So Narada went back to Vishnu and he said, you gave me an assignment which seems very dangerous. I whispered the name in the ears of the mosquito, or the ant, and the ant died. Vishnu said, your assignment is still not complete. Go down and chant the same mantra in the ear of that butterfly. So Narada said, okay. He went down. He went close to the butterfly and he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And as soon as the butterfly heard the holy name, it died. Narada was devastated. He said, I'm supposed to be a sannyasi. And what assignment is the Supreme Lord giving me? I give classes on ahimsa, non-violence. And here am I killing one after the other. What's going on? He went to Vishnu and he said, what is this assignment? You're telling me to chant the holy name and the ant died and the butterfly died. Vishnu smiled. And he said, the assignment is still not over. Go down and chant the holy name close to that sparrow. So now Narada was on the back foot because he probably could guess what's happening. See, he went there and went close to the sparrow and he said, I'm really sorry. Don't blame me for this. I'm just doing what the Supreme Lord wants me to do. Then he started saying, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the sparrow looked at Narada and died. Narada was crying. He went back to Vishnu and he said, I asked you a question. That's all. What was my fault? I asked you the power of the holy name and what are you doing? You're sending me for an assignment here, killing one after the other. And Vishnu smiled. And he said, your assignment is still not over. Go down and chant the holy name in the ear of that cow. Gohatya. Narada looked at Vishnu and said, cow?
Yeah, cow.
That's a baby calf. Go and chant the holy name in the ear. So he went. He performed parikrama to that calf. Dandavat. He chanted all the prayers that he knew. And he told the calf, don't blame me for this. I can pretty much guess what's going to happen. I'm just fulfilling the will of the Lord. And he went close to the ear of the calf and said, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The calf looked at Narada, smiled and died. Now Narada was feeling as if a thunderbolt struck his heart. He went back to Vishnu and he said, no more assignments. And I promise you, I'm not going to ask you any questions after this. I never knew you had this answering ability where you answer all these questions by killing different animals. You're the creator. That doesn't mean you kill them. And Vishnu smiled. He said, go to that place. And there's a baby, a human baby. Go and chant the holy name in the ear of that baby. The baby is sleeping at the moment. Take advantage and go. Narada cried at the feet of Vishnu. He said, don't do this. I surrender to you. That doesn't mean you take an over advantage of this. Vishnu said, do as I say. You ask me a question. It's your problem. He said, but I asked you a question. What are you sending me for? He said, the assignment is still not complete. So Narada went there. He saw the baby. The baby was smiling and sleeping. And Narada went and close to the ear of the baby chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And baby was sleeping and it got up, looked at Narada and said, thank you very much. Narada said, you're alive? You didn't die? The baby looked at Narada and he said, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Narada. And he fell at the feet of Narada. He could hardly stand and walk, but he just clasped the feet of Narada. He said, thank you so much. There's nobody who can help me as much as you did. They said, you were sleeping. I woke you up from sleep. I mean, I didn't know that's such a philanthropic work. I just woke you up from sleep by chanting the holy name in your ear. But Narada was confused. He went back to Vaikuntha. Vishnu said, now your assignment is complete. Narada said, I did what you wanted me to do, but you didn't answer my question. And Vishnu smiled. And he said, didn't you realize what happened? Narada said, what happened? You just took me to different animals and different plants and different insects and you just told me to chant the holy name and they were dying one after another and the child was alive and he didn't die. I'm surprised and I don't understand. Please explain. Vishnu said, the ant in whose ear you chanted the holy name, as soon as you chanted the holy name, it was freed from its ant body. And it's the same ant which became the butterfly. And you chanted the holy name in the ear of the butterfly. And it became free from that butterfly body. And that became a sparrow. You freed it from the sparrow body. It became the calf. You freed it from the calf body. And as soon as possible, just by chanting the holy name, the ant very soon became the baby. What could have taken a million births for the ant to evolve naturally and come to the human form? Krishna's holy name did like this. Didn't you realize, Narada? Narada said, my lord. He fell at the feet of Vishnu and he said, I'm so sorry. I failed to understand the essence of this whole pastime. So chanting of the holy name can free us from all suffering possible. And it is non-different than Krishna. Prabhupada used to give an example. If you're thirsty and you say, water, 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 what happens to your thirst? Well, it just increases. It's not quenched, right? But Prabhupada said, spiritual sound vibration means the sound and the person are non-different. It is the same. In fact, the holy name is more merciful than Krishna. In Ramchandra's pastimes, there's a very beautiful pastime. I would like to end this discussion on this note with this beautiful pastime. Ramchandra observed all the people, all the monkeys, writing something, scribbling something on the rocks, which we know is the holy name of Ram. The monkeys used to scribble these names on the big slabs and big stones and throw it under the ocean. And as soon as they wrote Ram, it floated. So Ramchandra wanted to know the science behind this. So he went secretly at night. Secretly. And he looked. Is there anybody looking at me? There was nobody. So he picked up one rock which didn't have the holy name of Ram. And he said, they write the holy name of Ram because they are not Ram. I am Ram myself. I don't have to write the holy name. So he picked up the rock without the holy name on it and threw it onto the ocean. And what happened? Instead of floating, that rock sunk. It sank. Hanuman, who always follows Ramchandra. And he was hiding behind one of the caves and he was looking what Ramchandra is doing. And as soon as it sang, he started clapping. I saw this. Ramchandra looked back. He said, I made sure that nobody saw. How did you reach here? He said, my Lord, I'm always there. I observe everything that you do. So Ramchandra said, please explain. You all write the name of Ram. You all are not Ram. You all write the name of Ram and the rock floats. I am Ram myself. So I didn't have to write the name. And it sank. What is the science behind this? And Hanuman smiled and he said, my Lord, that rock which has your holy name on it, how can it sink? And that rock which doesn't have your holy name, how can it float? Ramchandra was amazed at this wit of Hanuman, and Hanuman explained, my Lord, this has a very deep tattva. We are all like stones. We are foolish like stones. And those tongues, those stones like us, which have the holy name of Ramchandra on, these stones always float in the ocean of mental existence. And those tongues, those rocks, which don't have the holy name of Ramchandra, come what may, they will sink. And the Kali Shantarana Upanishad talks about this. It says, in the age of Kali Yuga, the chanting of these 16-word, 32-syllabled Maha Mantra can save us from the repeated cycle of birth and death, give us eternal residence in the kingdom of God, and awaken the love for the Supreme Lord. And what are these 16 words, the 32-syllabled Maha Mantra? What is the 16-digit phone number of the Supreme Lord? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first ever wireless technology was developed in the scriptures, where you chant the holy name and you communicate through him with no means. Where your japa beads are like the cell phone, and the Maha Mantra is like a 16-digit phone number, cell phone number of the Supreme Lord. So now, we all have the phone, and we all have the phone number of the Supreme Lord. So let us make it a point that every single day we call and talk to him. Yes? On this note, I would like to stop. Oh, that's on time. Okay.